time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Listen, we were talking about the Wave Shield, and this is a little teeny device that fits on your telephone. And the new research is now confirming memory loss in teens from cell phone radiation. And a 2017 National Institute of Health research says 5 minutes on a cell phone causes significant memory loss. So that's something the telecom industry has never said. And they constantly say cell phones are safe. And manufacturers are now warning shareholders, not customers, that they may eventually be held liable for the harm for their products have caused. Now, I don't know if shareholders are held liable. That's something that would have to be litigated. But a Swiss study has now determined that cell phone radiation may cause, and not may, but does cause, memory loss in teens. And it says, a new Swiss study finds that the RF EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, harm the memory performance in the specific brain regions exposed while a person is talking on the cell phone. And the study follows up on a 2015 report published in the scientific journal Environmental International. Now, twice the sample size, as well as more current information on the absorption factor of radio frequency, electromagnetic frequencies in adolescent brains, it's different than adult brains. And during different types of wireless communications that the device uses, depending upon where, and especially now with all these 5G, and the studies are the first epidemiological reports to estimate the cumulative effects of the radiation brain dose in adolescents. And the findings show that cumulative brain exposure from cell phones use over 1 year may have a negative effect on the development of figural memory performance in adolescents. And this confirms the previous study that was published in 2015. So in 2017, the National Institute of Health also published the research that proved that mobile phone use for only 5 minutes can trigger significant memory impairment in humans. And again, it was a follow-up first published in 2011, confirming that 50 minutes in cell phone use affected the brain, then 2015, now 2017. And this was done at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. And the article, and again in the journals, the probability of memory impairment from exposure. And there's also on the article, like video halfway down in the article. And children's skulls and the scalps are thinner than in adults, so the radiation can penetrate deeper. So the impact of radiation is much larger on children. So that's something that we are now finding. Again, just to finish, new research confirms memory loss in teens from cell phone radiation. The 2017 National Institutes of Health research said 5 minutes on cell phones can cause significant memory loss. So that's where you want to get yourself one of these Wave Shields. And again, I'm putting it up on our Facebook page so that you can see. This is the name of it, and it's a Wave Shield. It's a small device made out of a special material developed in Russia. And and it blocks 99% of all radiation. My suggestion, though, is please do not talk on with the phone held to your ear. Please turn on the speakerphone and talk to the speaker.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio, featuring Professor Eliezer Ben Joseph, with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben Joseph.
And I am back. I am back here at Natural Solutions Radio. And I want to thank all of you for joining me here on Natural Solutions Radio.
continue.
Okay, here's another creepy article that's happening, and that's from artificial intelligence, and they are now able to create creepy fake talking heads. And I told you before that in real video, they can now change the person. I was saying that AI, artificial intelligence, can now, in real-time video, let's say the news is filming a bank robbery in progress. They can real-time, the guy that runs out of the bank might be a white guy wearing a suit, and they can change that in real time to a black man wearing a hoodie. And you would not know that it's real, that it's not real. So they've been able to do that in real time now. Well, here's the next thing that they've been able to do, and it's another creepy thing that AI intelligence can do, and that's machine learning experts have built a neural network that can now manipulate facial movements in videos to create fake talking footage in which people appear to say something they never actually said. So it can be used to create convincing yet faked announcements and confessions seemingly uttered by whatever rich and powerful, as well as the average and the mediocre, and they're producing a new class of fake news and further separating us from all reality. And if it and it's working well enough naturally. So it's not quite like the deep fakes, which perversely superimpose the faces of famous actresses and models onto the bodies of raunchy X-rated movie stars. And they've been doing that for years now. But instead, now they are mapping faces onto different bodies. And through the latest artificial intelligence technology, they can control the target's face and manipulate it into copying the head movements and the facial expressions of the source. And in one of the examples, they can take Barack Obama acts as the source and Vladimir Putin as the target. So it looks as though the speech was given by Obama was instead given by Putin. And there's a paper that describes a technique which popped up online at the end of last month, and it claims to produce realistic results. So the method was developed by all of these people here, and anyway, these projects are creating talking heads and videos that you do not know if is it real or is it not real. They can now insert a actor or actress into a movie that has died years ago and can now make a movie with that actor or actress that you think is real time and that is really that actor or actress is alive. And this is making all kinds of a thing, because if they when they do that in a movie, who gets the royalties? Is the actor, when they use that, is that considered, say, an animation so that they don't have to pay a royalty to the actor actress? Anyway, the whole thing is just creepy, because they can do this, and we, looking at the news or YouTube or whatever, we have no idea whether it's real.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
There's a lot of diagnostic techniques in naturopathy, using as an example the iris reading and blood and chemistries, and I'm able to do all of those. And then there's the psychological assessment of the eyes through the RAID method, and I'm one of the top in the world on that, and I love that. That changes people's personality, not their personality, their understanding of self. So that's a technique. You can look up RAID, R-A-Y-I-D, all capitals, and that's an assessment of the eyes using photography, and we take those and put the eye photographs directly on the computer. And you can tell a lot by someone, depending upon what you see in the eyes. And every human on the planet has to deal with three things. And every human on the planet has to deal with their physical body. And their physical body as a machine, as a car, as a machine. How is that machine working? Is it a comfortable place to be? Is my spirit, my selfhood that lives in this body, is it comfortable? Is the body responding in the way it needs to be? Do I treat the body as a living temple as it needs to be treated? Or do I put in garbage and slop all around? Now think of it. How many people, I don't care if you're religious or not, but if you've been in a temple or a church, even archaeological, an old temple or an old church that might even be broken down, but what happens when you walk into there? All of a sudden your voice changes and you're like reverent and you're whispering as you look around and you look at some of these big beautiful cathedrals around the world, especially in England when I went, and in Europe some of those cathedrals are just beautiful, and you walk in and all of a sudden you're just in awe. And again, you know, that's that spirit talking. And how is it when you live in this human body? The second thing that everybody has to deal with is their mind. How do they think? How do they process information? How do you come to a rational conclusion about any subject that you're thinking about? And then the third thing that everybody has to deal with is their emotions. How do I feel about things, which is very different than how I think about things? As an example, you can think one way, oh, I'm so angry at somebody, or I'm thinking that I really want to just do them harm. Or emotionally, I'm thinking that. But yet intellectually, I say to myself, no, don't do anything. You don't want to go to jail. So your mind can be very different and thinking the exact opposite of what emotionally you're thinking. Well, you can assess that from the iris of the eyes. And one of the things that iridology taught is that every trait you see in iridology is something wrong. And that used to bother me, even when I studied with Bernard Jensen in the late 60s, and Ray Yancey, Lionel Silver, all of the greats in iridology through the early 70s, and studying around the world different techniques of iris assessment. You know, the iridology, every trait, every fiber you saw was always something wrong. Where in the RAID method, you're understanding what is the lesson behind what it is you want. What is the brain attempting to learn? And so that's what it does. So when you look in someone's eyes, and sometimes, you know, before the computer and all of these, you know, new assessment tools where we can take photographs, you used to use a flashlight and a magnifying glass, and you'd get, you know, oh, 3-4 inches away from someone's face, very intimate, and you'd be looking in their eyes. So you can see where the fibers separate, and they almost look like petals or open holes in the eye. Or you can see dark spots, you know, whether they're dark black or brown or yellowish spots. You can see little white spots all the way around the edge. You can see dark circle around the outside edge or a white circle around the outside. Everything you see in the eye has an interpretation. And I love the RAID method because it tells you what the brain is attempting to learn. So it'll tell you how your machine is working. Is it a strong constitution or a weak constitution? It'll tell your mind how it processes information. Are you primarily auditory or visual or kinesthetic? Meaning every human on the planet processes information one of those three ways, or possibly all of the three ways in combinations. Auditory people use auditory words when they're speaking, and they're going to use words like, are you listening to me? Does that sound right? Or let's talk about it. Those are all sound words. Then there's the emotional visual people, and they're going to words like, do you see my point? Imagine this, or look at it from my point of view. And then you have kinesthetic people that talk about physical things, and I can't stand that, or don't be so rough. Okay, those are physical words, and so you can tell a lot. I know when I went through college in the beginning, and I worked for a company called American La France Fire Alarm Systems, and I did door-to-door sales, and that was one of the things that we learned, is that you always communicate. A good salesman will always communicate in the talking mode, in the speaking mode of the person they're talking to. So when they're auditory, visual, or kinesthetic, you learn to communicate in that mode. So then obviously your sales become better. You can also tell, is someone primarily introverting or extroverting? And you look at what's called the autonomic nerve wreath, or we call it the ring of expression. Is it tight and squeezed against the pupil, or is it out and far away and is expansive? That can tell us, are you primarily extroverting or primarily introverting? Now, you take someone that's primarily an extrovert, they're very good at social influences. What do they need to learn? They need to learn introvert things like sitting still and learning to focus and concentrate. And then the introvert, they're very good at focus and concentration. What do they need? More social outlook. They need to be able to go out and be social and experience other people. Then again, you can look at, when you look at the traits in the eye, are there more traits in the left eye or more traits in the right eye? You can look at primarily right brain or left brain. I know there's a lot of controversy now in psychology whether right brain or left brain is accurate. We've seen it accurate for many, many years, and we can tell when someone is left brain, that's the right side of the body, and when they're right brain, that's the left side of the body, and different types of behavior. So you're able to get a lot of assessment through that. Now, a lot of naturopaths specialize in that, whether it's iridology or the RAID. Then there's diagnostic techniques of when you read a blood chemistry. How do you read a blood chemistry? What does it mean when you look at liver enzymes or kidney enzymes, or you look at all of those numbers that come, that, you know, people hear of a CBC with a differential or a complete metabolic panel. What do those things mean? And then when you look at those numbers, ALT, AST, and bilirubins, and BUN, blood urea nitrogen, and creatinine, and all of these different words that you see on a chemistry, what do they mean? How do you interpret that? Well, again, most naturopaths, some learn that. Many of them don't learn that. And I have learned that for many, many years. And again, studied chemistry. And you learn how to read a chemistry. And then there's, other techniques of understanding. And that's in different aspects of psychology and face reading and understanding body reading and what happens. How does someone walk? Are they leaning to the left, leaning to the right? When you look at their walking gait, are their feet pointed outward? We used to call that duck walking, or are their feet pointed inward? And we used to look at that in pigeon-toed. And when you look at a car, again, in you look at the front tires and you see one side of the tire is worn more than the other side of the tire, you would know that you have to go get your wheels aligned. Well, when you look at someone's shoes and one side of the shoe is worn very well and the other side is not, do you have your legs realigned? You know, when you see someone standing there and their legs are pointed outward or inward, or they're, you can see that their posture is either leaning forward or leaning backward, and there's a tilt in their pelvis, and so their neck has to go forward. What does all of that mean? What happens with structure and function? And naturopaths are experts in structure and function. We are allowed to talk about that in the healthcare industry. And what a lot of naturopaths don't even realize is that you can go back to all the way back to 1928, and in the National Registry of Jobs and Skills, naturopathy is actually listed as a profession that is totally separate and distinct from the medical profession. So naturopathy is not controlled by the medical profession. It is a synced and distinct medical assessment tool, and they use natural things and light And we use the earth and posture and natural things. And we use electricity and heat and far infrared. And we use different types of treatment modalities. So anyway, that we're in traditional medicine, allopathic medicine. What do? They look at drugs and alleviation of symptoms. And in naturopathy, what do? You look at how do you enhance health. And we do that by looking at the body's systems. And we can tell, is that system in balance with the other systems? And so you look at that and are able to use that knowledge so that you can then make a good assessment program, whether someone comes into your office because they're suffering from cancer or arthritis or autoimmune diseases. One of the good things in naturopathy is we don't really care what the disease is called. We only care that you approach balance and that you learn to enhance the immune system. You enhance the body's physiology. The body only has physiology to deal with. That's what it can do. It can raise and lower temperatures. It can increase the rate of an organ, or it can decrease the rate of an organ. So it can do things physiological to bring about changes in the body. And so there is a direct relationship between structure and function. So that's the differences between natural medicine and allopathic medicine. So right now, one of the things that's happening in allopathic medicine, and this is quite disturbing, because we were told that some 81% of Europe's overdose death rates in 2015 were related to opioids. And right now, painkillers are increasing the prescription and the risks of obesity and dying. 95% they're increasing. And that's revealing shocking new research as prescriptions for these new pain-killing drugs double to 24 million in only 10 years. Okay, so opioids, along with heart disease and stroke or diabetes, are the leading causes of death now. The medication combination also increases users' risks of high blood pressure. And opioids are sedating and making people inactive and disturbing their metabolism and affecting their psychology. So anyway, President Trump has declared the epidemic a national public health emergency. So there's all of these new, opioid, different opioid drugs. 24 million opioid prescriptions were given out just in 2016, and that's when the last results were available. And a lot of that's coming from Europe, and Europe's overall overdose death rates rose from the third consecutive year from 2015 to over almost 9,000 deaths per year, which is an 81% increase before the opioids were being used. So new research from the largest study of its kind reveals patients taking these painkillers along with medications from heart disease or stroke or diabetes are 95% more likely to become obese. And because of these sedative drugs make people's immune system and metabolism slower. So please be careful, and they're becoming more and more addictive. Eating too much added sugar increases the risk of dying with heart disease. Well, you know what I say to that as a naturopath is, duh. You know, any naturopath in the world is going to read that and go, well, duh, and we all know that. So anyway, a sugar-laden diet may raise your risk of dying from heart disease even if you're not overweight. So says a major new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine. Adding sugars make up at least 10% of the calories of the average American. I think that's quite low. I think that many Americans are adding really 20 to 25, 30% of their total caloric intake is coming from sugar. But 1 in 10 people get a whopping 25% or more of their calories from added sugar. And this, of course, in a 15-year study on added sugar and heart disease, participants who took the 25% more of their daily calories at sugar were more than twice as likely to die from heart disease as those whose diets included less than 10% added sugar. So overall, the odds of dying from heart disease rose in tandem with the percentage amount of sugar in the diet. And that was true regardless of the person's age, sex, physical activity level, or body mass index, which is a measure of weight. So the sugar-sweetened beverages, especially sodas and energy drinks and sports drinks, are by far the biggest sources of added sugar in the average diet. They account for more than one-third of all the added sugar we can assume in a nation. You take an average 12-ounce soda, and you're taking 10, 12, 14 teaspoons of sugar. Other important sources of sugar include cookies and cakes and pastries and donuts and treats and Pop-Tarts and soft drinks and ice cream and frozen yogurts and all of these candy bars and ready-to-eat cereals. And again, right now, if you look at government standards, they're going to put Trixer for Kids or Cocoa Puffs or Cocoa Krispies actually as healthier than eating an avocado. And that's because an avocado has fat, and according to regular medical, fat is bad and sugar is okay. So it's salt and fat that they look at. And if a food has salt and fat in it, it's considered unhealthy. Well, an avocado is very high in fat. It's also some of the healthiest fats that you can possibly eat in the world. I suggest everybody eat at least one avocado a day. And so anyway, again, the government, if you look at their statistics, they put an avocado as unhealthy, but eating Trixer for Kids or Cocoa Puffs as perfectly okay. So nutritionists from around the world frown on added sugar for two reasons. One is a well-known link to weight gain and cavities. The other is sugar delivers empty calories. That means calories unaccompanied by fiber or vitamins or minerals or enzymes. And too much added sugar can crowd healthier foods from a person's diet. So could it be possible that sugar is the true bad guy when it comes to heart disease? And so that's what we think. And it's another article that came out. And this is from the Harvard Heart Letter, Eating Too Much Sugar. So the next article on sugar, and you've been hearing this in natural medicine for years, and it says, does removing sugar from your diet starve cancer cells? Well, a new study finds surprising answers, and the answer is yes. You can go back to 1931, Dr. Otto Warburg, who's the only doctor in history to win two Nobel Prizes for medicine. And both of these Nobel Prizes were 10 years apart. They were unopposed, so he didn't share them with anybody. And he found that cancer cells feed on sugar, and cancer cells use sugar to respire instead of using oxygen. So he found that cancer cells feed on sugar in one of the studies that he did, and the other one, the new Nobel Prize, and the other one was that cancer cannot live in the presence of high amounts of sugar. And this study was done with investigations from Duke University, Duke Medical School, the National University of Singapore, Duke University School of Medicine, and the Medical University in Vienna. A very large study, a unique approach explaining how reducing sugar can cause cancer cells to die. And it was published in the journal Science and Signaling, and they presented the cell death pathway, or cancer cell death pathway, through depriving cancer cells of sugar can trigger a reaction that causes them to die. and the research builds on earlier scientific literature that indicates that cancer cells that quickly multiply need much higher levels of sugar than healthy cells. So anyway, there's more evidence that sugar fuels cancer cell growth. So in the study, the researchers found that specific cancer cells in low levels of sugar that are insufficient for providing energy may be used as a method to enhance the survivability of healthy cells by removing the sugar. So we've known this in naturopathy for many, many years, and that's why when you go to a naturopath, the first thing they're going to do is take you off sugar, increase healthy fats, and be very critical of animal proteins when it comes to cancer, because cancer and animal proteins go hand in hand. So what you do is a modified ketogenic diet that's vegetarian, high amounts of raw food and vegetable matter. So another good reason for removing sugar. We're only got a couple of minutes away from the end of our show. What's happening, Adon?
Now on Facebook, we did have a question.
Okay.
Now they asked, what happens when the body is too alkaline?
Too alkaline, that can actually increase your risk of bacterial infections. We know, as an example, that if you take a pH reading of someone's urine, and it's in 7.3, 7.5 reading, they often have
90 seconds.
They also often have a bacterial infection. So you want, when you take a reading of your urine, it should be between 6.5 and say 6.7. And when you take a reading of your saliva, we also want about 6.5 to 6.7. That tells us that the electrical charge or the electrical voltage is appropriate in the body. Remember, we want run on electricity. And so that's one of the ways that we measure
60 seconds
electricity by taking the pH of both the saliva and the urine. Anyway, we only have about 60 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I didn't get to talk about it, but another study on CBD oil, which reduces seizures in treatment-resistant epilepsy. So find out about CBD oil. But anyway, we only have a little time left. I want to thank everyone for joining me on Blog Talk Radio, joining me on the Facebook page of Natural Solutions Radio, and also don't forget, tune in next week. And please, if you can, like us on Facebook, and if you go to our YouTube page, please like us and subscribe to our YouTube page, and send out and use your
10 seconds
social media to help advertise our show. Anyway, 10 seconds left. Again, I want to say thank you. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph on Natural Solutions Radio. We're signing off, and we'll be back next week with another show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.